Can we turn our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5? And we're going to read from verse 38 of the chapter. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and beginning our reading at verse 38. You've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just bow again the word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come and we thank thee for thy mercy to us again. And we rejoice in thy word. We thank thee for its practical reference to us. We thank thee for the practical application that comes to our hearts. And we pray that we might walk in thy word. Give us that zeal that the text of scripture that we're taking today talks about. We pray for help to go that second mile with the Lord. Come, our God, and do bless thy word, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. My text then is verse 41 of the chapter. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. The phrase, going the second mile, has found its way into our language. Of course, it comes from this passage of scripture, but its origin really goes back to Roman times, because the Romans had conquered the then known world at the time that we're reading off. And one of the marvels of their conquest was their superhighways, the roads that the Romans built across their conquered territories. Over 50,000 miles of Roman roads throughout the empire. And at each mile along a Roman road, there was a stone marker. The New Oxford Dictionary calls them guide stones. And in the days of the Lord Jesus, it was the custom for the Roman army, when they were marching through a district, they could demand of anyone that a soldier could demand that somebody carry his baggage or carry his equipment. And they could demand that a man would carry that equipment from one milestone to another. And you can imagine how much that would resent it. You could think of a man sitting, working at his workbench, or looking after the cattle in the fields, or the sheep on the hillside, and the soldier, the Roman soldier, could come and say, you have to carry my baggage for a mile. And when they would get to the next mile, the man could lay down the baggage then, and then the Roman soldier could ask somebody else along the road to take the baggage. And the army, or the Roman army, was an army of occupation. And you can read through the scriptures, you can see how much the Jews resented the occupation. And you can imagine what a hated thing it must have been for a Roman soldier to come to a Jew in those days and demand that he carried his baggage and carried his equipment. There were groups of Jewish patriots called the Zealots. And they did everything they could to try and undermine the Roman occupation. So it was a source of deep resentment. And so when the Lord Jesus said that whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, he was thinking of this situation where a Roman, a hated Roman, could demand of somebody to go a mile. And it was the most outrageous suggestion here, really, that if a man compelled thee to go a mile, thou should go twain. It was a hated thing. It was the most outrageous thing. It was the most hated thing. It was the most disgusting thing for a Jew to have to go a mile. And yet the Lord Jesus says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And we could think of the situation where a neighbour wants us to do something, or where a co-worker or a church member wants us to do something. And the Bible says that not only are we to do that, but we are to go the second mile in what he wants us to do. It is not even as outrageous as a Roman soldier coming to demand that you carry the baggage. If we have a neighbour, someone that we have a contact with and we have a connection with, demands it of us or asks of us that we do something, we should, as God's people, want to go the second mile in all that we do. Now, there's a principle for life. It's a principle that we should have even in our secular employment. You think of how the sociologists speak about the Protestant work ethic. And it comes from verses like this, where God's people and those that know the Bible have been taught that we do what we can. That if we are going to work, then we put our whole effort into what we do. That's the Protestant work ethic. But how much more should we not do that as far as our work for God is concerned? When we're working in the things of God, when we're seeking to do what we can for the Lord, when the Lord wants us to go a mile, should we not go the second mile for the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what we call second mile religion. And I want us to think about second mile religion today. And there are a number of things about second mile religion that the Lord reveals for us. And there are a number of things that we can say about it here in this portion of Scripture. And first of all, I want you to see the principle demonstrated. Look at the text again. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. One of the greatest dangers that face Christians in their pursuit of a holy life is ending up being religious and not spiritual. Those that profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a world of difference between being religious, and being spiritual. The former is human, the latter is divine. Simply keeping the law could make people religious, but not spiritual. Religiosity is taken up with external, visible things. Spirituality is primarily a matter of the heart. And God warns us here in this portion of Scripture about being religious without being spiritual. And there are those that are religious and they go to meetings and they pray and they read their Bible every day and they might even tithe their income and so on. But they seek the honour of men and not the honour of God. They will have a love for money, interested in gossiping and all these things. And some people are religious, but they're not spiritual. And one of the things about religious people is that they will do only that which is acceptable. They will just do enough to get by. They will seek to be acceptable as far as other Christians are concerned. They will want to be well regarded in the church, and they will do what they can to be accepted, but that's as far as it goes. They don't go the second mile with the Lord, and they know that nobody can point the finger at them except that they do not ever put themselves out. You do not want to give up your pleasure or your interest for the sake of Christ, and really what you do is the minimum. And that's what marks out a religious person as opposed to a spiritual person. The religious person will do the minimum, will go to church the minimum, will give the minimum, will seek to serve the Lord the minimum. But I want you to see how supremely second mile religion is demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus. You know, if the Lord Jesus had just done the minimum, if the Lord Jesus hadn't gone the second mile, where would we be? Because the Lord went the second mile in His grace. We think of Adam and Eve who were placed in the Garden of Eden. And in that garden, Adam and Eve had the benefit of paradise. They did not have to toil for their food. They did not have to spill the sweat of their brow. Not only that, but they had the blessing of the fellowship of Almighty God. We're told that God came down in the cool of the day. There was nothing to mar the fellowship between man and God. And God had given them this blessing with the only proviso that they do not eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. But of course you know the story how that the devil came and tempted Eve and she took of that fruit. We know that man was driven out of the garden. Man became a sinner. Man was under the curse of God. And man ever since has deserved nothing other than the wrath and curse of an almighty God. Now we work in the sweat of our brow. Now we have difficulty at times getting the things that we need. And yet we read that God could have been just in driving man out forever. And yet God went the second mile in His grace. We read of that great promise in Genesis 3 and 15. Now I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman there, of course, is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. You usually talk about the seed of the man, but here is the seed of the woman. It's the virgin birth. And the Lord Jesus Christ was to come to turn away the curse, to make a way by which man could be saved. And my God could have condemned us. God could have left us. God could have abandoned us. God could have caused the world to vanish in a mighty explosion, and that would have been it. But I'm glad that God went the second mile in His grace for you and me. Not only did He go the second mile in His grace, but He went the second mile in His love. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The best kind of a person, as far as a Jew was concerned, was a good man. The Jews had different classifications for people. A righteous man was a man who lived according to the law. A righteous man was a man who was very good in what he did. He was a respectable kind of an individual. But a good man was above a righteous man, because he kept the law and did all that the righteous man did. But above that, he was a man of compassion. A man who just didn't do the law, but he was a man who cared. He was a man who was kind. He was a man who was merciful. He had a care for others. So he was a righteous man, but he was also kind. And he had a regard for others. The Lord says it might have been a rare thing for somebody to die, for even a good man. But He says God commends His love toward us while we were yet sinners. When we were at enmity against Him, He went the second mile in His love. We think of that love that drew salvation's plan, and for the grace that brought it down to man. He loved not only His friends, He loved those who were at enmity against Him. And the Bible says here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. I'm glad that we've a God who went the second mile in His love. And then He went the second mile in His suffering. He suffered in this life. He lived that life of poverty. We think of His birth in a stable, His going through life, and it says the Son of Man had not where to lay His head. When we think particularly of the sufferings on the cross, and we think how his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Psalm 129:3, the ploughers ploughed upon my back, they made long their furrows. By the death of crucifixion was designed by the Romans to be as long and slow and painful a death as they could ever devise. And the Lord Jesus endured all that for you and me. But he also went the second mile. Not only did he endure the sufferings put upon him by men, but he endured the sufferings put upon him by his own dear Father. We think of how it says in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And oh, what griefs and what sufferings. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And what would it have been if the Lord Jesus Christ had not borne the sufferings of hell for you and me? My, he bore what sufferings, what agonies. He went the second mile in his suffering. And then he went the second mile in his seeking. You know, you can think back, maybe those of you that are saved, to the days before you were saved. And many times you heard the gospel. And so many times you sat in gospel meetings. And you rejected the gospel and turned your back upon the offers of God's free grace and mercy. You know, it could have been that the Lord would have taken your reply and said, okay, you've rejected me, you've turned your back upon me. But I'm glad that the Lord went the second mile in his seeking. He didn't take my first answer. He didn't even take my second answer or my third answer. But thank God he came back again and again and again. And he went the second mile, and the third mile, and the fourth mile in seeking sinners. And I'm glad that I still come to the God of the second mile, and the third mile, and the fourth mile. And how many miles has the Lord gone for you, sinner, in seeking for you? I'm glad today that we don't have a God who just goes 1 mile. A mile is quite a long way. And he goes a long way, but he goes even further than that we might be saved. And the Lord himself was the God of the second mile, and we are his servants. And should we not go the second mile too? If a man compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So we notice the principle demonstrated here. But then I want you to see the policy demanded. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And here's the God of the second mile, and he wants us to go the second mile too. The Lord wants second mile Christians. We need to go the second mile for the Lord. And we need to go the second mile in love. The Lord Jesus demands that we go the second mile in love with people round about us. The earthly bride, when she's deeply in love with her bridegroom, you know, she doesn't do the minimum necessary. She just doesn't do enough to get by. She just doesn't do enough to please her husband somewhat. But you know, she'll go the second mile and the third mile, and she'll do whatever she can and go as far as she can to be able to please her husband. And the same as with a husband with his bride. You think of the difference then between a bridegroom and a servant. You know, the servant will work to the clock. The employee, you know, if you want the employee to do the second mile, the employee will want overtime pay. But the one who loves will do it for nothing. The one who loves will just want to do it in order to please. And that's what the Lord Jesus is wanting of you and me. To do it for love. Do we love the Lord Jesus today? Do we love our Savior? We think of his love for us. What boundless love the love of God to me that brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. How much do you love the Lord today? We need to go the second mile in our love. And then we will love, and not only will our love be demonstrated in going like that, but our love will be demonstrated in our forgiveness. You know, we'll forgive others. I read the story about Chris Carrier of Coral Gables in Florida. And he was abducted when he was 10 years old. And his kidnapper was angry with his parents for some reason. And he took the little boy and he burned him with cigarettes. And he attacked him a couple of times with an ice pick. And he left him to die in the Everglades in Florida. But remarkably, the young fella didn't die. He was left, he lost the sight of one eye out of it, but he didn't die. And he lived on for many years and was married and so on, but nobody was ever caught for the crime of abducting him and all the rest. But many years later, a man confessed to the crime. This man was David McAllister, a 77-year-old ex-convict. This time he was frail and blind. And by this time, Chris Carrier was a youth pastor in Grenada Presbyterian Church. And the young fella, he went now to visit the man. This man was now in prison, but he went to visit him. And he began to read the scriptures to him. And he went back again a number of times. And by reading the scriptures to him and speaking to him, the way was opened for McAllister eventually came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. And somebody said to Chris Carrier, he said, how come you could go to that man that did you so much wrong? And Chris Carrier said, well, revenge really didn't enter into it. He said, it's so long ago now that he said, if I had sought for revenge and vengeance down the years, it would have just eaten me up. I let it go, and it's 22 years ago. And he said, the statute of limitations is long gone. He can't stand trial for the crime anyway. He says, I just had to forgive him. And you know, we need to go the second mile in our love, in demonstrating our love and forgiveness. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe there's someone you need to speak to get right with. We need to go the second mile in our love. Not only are we to go the second mile in our love, but in our loyalty to Christ. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he spoke of the goodness of the church in Macedonia. And he spoke about their liberality in giving gifts or riches or money or collection, as it were. But it says they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now these were people who knew the importance of giving. They gave of their riches, they gave of their goods. But it says they first gave themselves. And you know, you could give in tithe, and it's right to tithe. But you know, you could give your tithe, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees gave their tithes, and yet the Lord rebuked them. It's not enough to give the tithes, you've got to give yourself. C.T. Studd was a great missionary, and remember how the Lord called him to go to China. C.T. Studd had a great career in front of him, it seemed. He was an England cricketer, and it seemed as if he was going to have a brilliant career. He had riches too that he had inherited and so on. But he went out to China and later out to Africa. At one stage he had to leave his wife behind. You know, the great motto of C.T. Studd was, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. And he went the second mile in his loyalty to Christ. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. We've got to do the Lord's work with all our might. And that's the difference, as we say, between religiosity and spirituality. Religiosity will do. It will certainly do. It may give. We may read. the Scriptures. And I hope you do. If you're a child of God, you've read the Word of God today, you've prayed today. But have you given yourself? We've got to go the second mile in our loyalty to Christ. We've also got to go the second mile in our lavish giving Christ. Now we said the Thessalonians had given them own selves, but they also gave of their substance. You know, we think of the apostle, or rather King David. And David was going to build a temple for the Lord. And it says in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 29 that he prepared with all his might for the house of his God. He gave gold and silver and brass and other precious things. Now, a religious person could be exact in doing that. You could give gold, you could give money and so on. But then it goes on and says this in verse 3 about David. He went the second mile in his giving. It says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." In other words, David had given special gifts out of his own special treasure. David went the second mile in his giving. The Lord loveth a cheerful giving. So we go the second mile in our giving, lavish giving to the work of God. We're also to go the second mile in our liberality in prayer. That's a characteristic of the early church, that they were liberal in their prayer. We think of the election of the first committee or the first deacons, and they were elected to look after the affairs of the widows and the day-to-day affairs of the church. And the reason was this in Acts 6 and 4. But the apostle said, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And their desire was to pray and to preach. Remember when Peter was taken into prison by Herod, it says that prayer was made of the church without ceasing unto God for him. They kept up the vigil in prayer. And we read how Peter was set free then in the middle of the night. And Jeremiah 29 and 1 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." Second mile praying. Going the second mile in the place of prayer. And don't we need to learn that today? How long is it since you have been at the prayer meeting? How long is it since you have sought the Lord in the place of prayer? How long is it since you've been at the prayer meetings before the service? How long is it since you've been seeking the Lord? We need to go the second mile in prayer. For until we see that, our work will not go forward. Because we're going forward in our own strength if we're not depending on the Lord. Then, of course, we're to go the second mile in our labours. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye excel to the edifying of the church." We are to excel in the use of our talents for God. Some of you have talents in teaching. Some of you are talented in speaking to children. Some of you are talented in music, or singing, or playing an instrument. Some of you are good with your hands. Some of you are good at organizing things. But whatever talent God has given you, God wants you to use that talent. And if a man compel you to go a mile, and it is our duty. It is our duty. It's our duty to worship God. It's our duty to give to God. It's our duty to serve God. But if a man compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Have we got that second mile religion? Are we seeking to do not only what we need to do, but to go beyond and do whatever we are fit to do, whatever we can do? for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we notice the principle outlined or demonstrated, and we noticed something about the policy that we are to outline. But look at the prize that is dispensed here in the third place. Look at what it says. It says, if a man compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And then look at verse 42. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 21, we read about King Hezekiah. And it says that in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. So Hezekiah was a man who was determined to do what was in the law of the Lord. But it says that he did it with all his heart. And it says that when he did it with all his heart, he prospered. Hezekiah brought burnt offerings into the newly reopened temple. We read that he brought 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. And he consecrated them to the Lord. And there were so many offerings that there weren't enough priests to flay the offerings and to offer them before God. And they needed help. And then Hezekiah sent out orders to cut down the images and the groves of the false gods. He went the second mile. And when he went the second mile, it says God made him to prosper. Now prosperity there just doesn't mean all the time it will consist in riches. There are those that teach us that if we are following God and doing that the Lord will give us material prosperity. Not always. Abram and Jacob certainly were people who had material prosperity. But you think of Paul and all the deprivations that he experienced. Even the Lord Jesus himself, who had not where to lay his head. It doesn't mean that you'll have material prosperity necessarily. But you know, Paul certainly had happiness. And he had contentment. And he had the peace of knowing that he had prosperity with God. He was laying up treasures for himself. We read in Joshua 1 and 8 how the Lord spoke to Joshua at the death of Moses. And one of the things that the Lord said to Joshua was this: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Real success, real prosperity, is to have the will done of God. Alexander Mackay, or Mackay, with seven others, set out to the mission field, and they went to Uganda many years ago. And there was a farewell meeting organised in the Missionary Society in London. And when Alexander Mackay got up to speak at the meeting, he said, "This is one thing that my brethren have not yet said to you." And he said, "I want to remind the committee here that within 6 months, you will probably hear that one of us is dead." And there was a pause and there was a solemn stillness in the room. He says, "Yes," he says, "it's not likely that 8 English men go out to Central Africa and that all of them are going to be still there in 6 months' time." He said, "At least one of us will die. It may be me. One at least will surely fall," he said. But he said, "When you hear the news, don't be sad and don't be cast down, but send someone else immediately to take the place." Now there you have consecration. There you have giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. A young woman was giving so much to the work of God, She was giving extravagantly. And her friends eventually got concerned about the woman because she was giving so much that she was leaving so little for herself. So they went to speak to her and she wouldn't listen. So the pastor got concerned eventually about this lady, and he went to speak to her about how much she was giving to the Lord's work. And she said to the pastor, you know, she says, my brother is a businessman. She says he spends every day and night and every moment that he can investing his money, trying to make more money and investing his income so that he can make more. And she says he is working day and night at his business. And then she pointed to the little wooden building that was the church that they met in. She says, there's my investment. There is my business. And that's all that the pastor could say to her. Now, I don't say to you that you should give extravagantly, that you don't have anything for yourself. Of course not. But you know the Bible says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. If the Lord compels you to go a mile today, go the second mile. Go another distance. Give all that you can for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves you and gave himself for you. And those of you that are not saved today, the Lord would compel you to come to him. Come to him by his power and grace today. And find the one who does love and the one who is merciful. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake.